welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 44. Today's episode is part 6 of our 7-part series on what is fundraising freedom and how can I get it? And today we're going to be talking about how do I organize my ask? So we've been going through this whole series, going through actually the Fundraising Freedom book that I put out earlier this year. And I hope you've been enjoying as we jump through each chapter. Today's chapter is all about, you know, of course, making the ask. But if you want to jump into the book, if you have a copy of it, we're going to be on page 97. But if you don't have a copy, that's okay too. You can catch each episode, jump back in previous episodes, and be sure to catch each step as we move along. And all this is really gearing up in the next couple weeks for the release of my audiobook. So I am putting out the audiobook on November 28th, which is also Giving Tuesday. So I hope you have the date marked. And I hope you will consider picking up a copy of the audiobook. And I hope you also had seen in the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, if you're a part of the group, I posted a video a few days ago and shared a little bit about some exciting updates that are coming. And one of those is that I am doing a training on Tuesday. So if you are one of my ministry or missionary friends and you're listening in right now, tune up, listen in, because we have a training for you. So on Tuesday, November the 14th at 12 o'clock noon, which that is Central Standard Time, I want to invite you to come to an online training. I've been invited by my friend Mike Kim to come and do a training specifically about 7 year-end fundraising secrets that every missionary should know. And to be honest with you, I think that the 7 secrets that I'm going to share are actually secrets that every fundraiser, every nonprofit leader should know, not just missionaries. But if you are one of our missionary friends, I would love for you to come join us. And of course, all of you guys are invited to come in. I did post the link right in the Fundraising Freedom Tribe. The link will also be in the show notes here. So be sure to check that out. And I'd love to have you join me on Tuesday at 12 o'clock noon Central Standard Time. I also shared about the audiobook, and then also for my St. Louis friends, I'm going to be doing a book signing at Barnes & Noble on West County, at West County Mall, which is just off of Manchester and 270 in St. Louis. So if you are listening in from the St. Louis area, I'd love for you to join that. That's going to be on December the 9th. So lots of exciting things coming up, and of course, I just love doing life with you guys. I'm excited about the things that you guys are doing and sharing in the tribe about the fundraising that you have coming up. And of course, we had our fellowship earlier this month, and several of you jumped on and heard a little bit about some tips on Giving Tuesday, and you guys are already taking action. I love it, love it, love it. So good work, team. I'm so proud of you guys and really excited about the work that you're going to be doing here as we wrap up the year and you start gearing up for 2018. So of course, our charities and our nonprofits, our ministries are, they need you. You know, they need you to be at the top of your game. And so I hope that the content that we share and we talk about are things that will help you just tweak your fundraising a little bit, just to make it a little bit better. And that way you can invite more people in and more people will give. So of course, today's content is all about how do I organize my ask. And asking for money is hard. And I know that no matter how many times you do it, it's still hard because you're talking to somebody that may be a stranger, somebody who may not know much about your cause. And so to go and ask them for maybe what seems to be one of their most prized possessions, which is their cash, it is a challenge and it's hard. So the reason why I put this as chapter 6 of the entire process and step 6 of the Fundraising Freedom process is all because if we do our research, if we do everything in advance, so let me run through the steps real quick because I'm really big on wanting you to memorize this, okay? So the first step, focus your vision. If you know what you stand for, if you know your mission and your vision, there is no reason why anybody would be confused about who you are and what you stand for. So focus your vision is the F, run your research is the R. And this is all about, this is what gives you confidence because you know that you have done everything you need to do in order to ask somebody for money. So we want to make sure that we run our research. Then we move on to the E. We've enlisted our team. So we've got a lot of incredible people. Ideally, I have somebody on my team already who's helping me make this ask. So this is not a scary moment because I'm not doing this alone. You know, so I've got this person who's on my team that's going to help me make the ask. Okay. So that's E, enlist your team. Then the next E of freedom is enhance your brand. So we already have great print materials. We've got a logo that we feel really strong about. Our website's awesome. You know, the things that we're doing is really, really clear to people with our branding and the text and the content, the copy that we put in all of our print materials. That's just really, really clear. And so now, you know, you've deployed your team in this last step. Now your team is ready to go. And that's why we're ready to make the ask. Okay. So organizing the ask is all about, hey, we've got our members, we've got our team that's ready to roll. So when I say that they're deployed, it means that, okay, they're ready to go make the request to go get that meeting. So when we're organizing the ask, this really just means that I want you to be skillful. I want you to have a plan before you just go knock on somebody's door. And I really want you to think about this, is that even though you have somebody on your prospect list, you know, even though you've got all these great names on your prospect list, it doesn't always mean that you're the person who should be making the ask. And so all that homework that you did, all the previous, you know, 5 steps that led up to this, you did your work, you know, so you know that you're the right person for the fit, or you know that somebody else on your team should be the one who's making the ask. And maybe you're going along to this meeting because you know the organization better than anyone else. And the person who you're sitting across the table with needs to know who's running the organization. So they want to know who's in charge and who's the person who's going to be receiving the donations and making sure that my dollars go where I want them to go. So regardless, you are critical in this process, but you know that all the people that you have on your team are going to make sure that, you know, that we do this properly, that by the time we get to the place where we're knocking on a door and we're picking up the phone and calling somebody, we know that we're ready. We're ready to ask them for a very specific ask. And we know that they're capable of giving. So you've done all the research in advance to know whether or not this person is capable of giving to your cause. And so in chapter 6, like I said, page 97, if you want to jump into the book, and if you don't have a copy of the book, of course, you can get a copy on Amazon or you can catch that audiobook in just a couple weeks. But for the time being, we're going to go through each one of these little breaks that I have in the book. And the first part I talk about is dating versus fundraising. Then I get into the power of money. And then go into who should you ask, and then we break it down into the products and services, corporations and organizations, individuals, family and friends, and then we talk about how to do the cold call, talking to a stranger. So right away on the dating versus fundraising, I use the example of dating frequently because I want you to look at how you don't want to just go in for the ask, as far as I don't want to just immediately go in and say, hey, will you marry me? Because obviously that doesn't always work. And you know, it's kind of funny because I've recently come across several people who said, hey, we only knew each other for a couple weeks or a couple months. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. But sometimes it happens. So, but usually let's use the typical scenario that when you're dating somebody, you're getting to know each other. And that is really the whole deal. When you put somebody's name on a prospect list, you're basically saying, hey, this is somebody I want to get to know. And you may not know them today. And so by just putting their name on a sheet of paper, you're acknowledging mentally that this is somebody that you want to get to know. So when somebody else brings up their name, then you're ready to say, hey, do you know them? And then they can say, yeah. And you can say, wow, I've really been thinking that I should get in touch with them at some point. There's somebody that I'd love to tell them a little bit more about our cause. Do you think that you can make an introduction? Wow. So now somebody went from a stranger to you met somebody who has a connection, and now you're able to actually go talk to them. So having somebody on a prospect list, I don't always want just friends and family and people who we know really well on that prospect list. I want people who are like, hey, maybe it's the local celebrity, maybe it's the mayor or the congressman or the, you know, governor or whatever. Maybe it's somebody that you're like, this person could really move our mission forward. You know, if you work with a university, it may be somebody who's a professor or an administrator. Maybe the president of the university is somebody that you want to have on your team. And how's that going to happen if you don't put their name on a sheet of paper, if you don't start thinking of ways of how could I best get connected with them. So put those names on your prospect list, but remember that we're going to go through this just holding their hand, just starting to think through how could we even make an introduction? Who could introduce me? So it does start to sound a little bit like dating. You start to think through that it's like, okay, yeah, it is a little bit creepy. It's a little bit like dating that when you see somebody that you think is attractive, you might say, hey, you just might be looking for people who know them so that they can introduce you. I mean, exactly the same situation here. So in the dating versus fundraising process, you know that. I mean, we're just going to make sure that we don't jump in. We are not too aggressive. We don't stalk people, but we are looking to find out more information about them because we genuinely want them to be involved in what we're doing. So the next thing I talk through is really about the power of money. And this is hard because when you make the ask to somebody for their money, money does have a lot of weight, you know, and some people, if you grew up in a very, poverty stricken community, if you grew up with very little, you might put a lot of value in that dollar because you're thinking to yourself, I never, ever want to be like that again, versus maybe somebody who's always been raised with money and money just always seemed to come easily. They never really had to worry about when the next meal was going to come, didn't have to worry about bills being paid. It was a much more comfortable life. So look at those two different scenarios. If you come from a background where, you know, money was tight, then you're going to think differently about money and you're going to, you know, give it a little bit more power. And that's what happens is when you're going and getting ready to go talk to somebody who has money, it could give you some anxiety. It could put you in a position where you're afraid to talk to them because you've given them so much power because they have this thing that you want. And that goes into, we can go into the whole conversation again about desperation, is that the person who has money wants to see a leader, wants to see somebody who is very confident about how they're going to spend their dollars. So if you come off very nervous and standoffish and humming and hawing and worried about how they're going to perceive you, well, there's a good chance that you're going to push somebody away who has money because they're going to read that all over you. You know, back to they're going to judge you in 7 seconds and you want to come off, even if you have to fake it, that you're going to come off with confidence. So get in that power pose, stick those arms straight up in the air, go find a spot where you can just fake it and just, you know, take action and realize that nobody's really looking at that. They're not going to be concerned about your anxiety around money, but what they are concerned about is, are you going to actually do what you say you're going to do with the dollars? So you know you are. You know you're the best leader for the cause and what you're working towards. So come off that way. Make sure that you come strong when you come to that conversation. And then, you know, who you should ask. Back again, these are people that you've already pre-qualified. You've already identified that there's a connection, there's an interest there. There's some reason why this person came to your mind and why their name may have just kept on coming up in conversation as other people, you know, recommended that they be a part of your cause. Because somewhere, somebody thought that this was a good fit. And so we want to pursue that. We want to make sure that we move forward on it to see if there's something there, if everybody seems to think that we're a good fit, right? Kind of goes back to that dating again. So when you start asking people for money and start asking people to give to your cause, one of the major things that I'm looking for is I'm trying to, number one, eliminate all the expenses that I have that's possible to get rid of. So if there's things that I'm buying pretty frequently, I want to get rid of having to pay cash for those things. So we all know that people are going to be more likely to give us products or services than they are to give us cash. So what do we need to do to go find the people who can give us the products that we need, the services that we need to actually do our work? You know, so I want to find those organizations and those people to partner with first, because those are going to be a little bit easier in the ask. It's not going to feel so overwhelming because you're like, hey, they already have it. And they're looking for somebody to partner with them. That's going to be a good fit. So why not you? Okay. So products and services, that's a great way to eliminate some of the expenses. And that way you don't need as much cash. And then you move into corporations, organizations, individuals, family and friends, and then that cold call. So not everybody is going to feel comfortable going after corporations, and I get that. If you're an organization that is faith-based, corporations may not be at the top of your list, and so you can kind of check me out for a few minutes. But for those of you who are looking for corporations to get plugged in, know that every corporation has a pretty solid plan. You know, you just have to follow their process. And you got to find out what their process is. So a lot of organizations, all you have to do is pick up the phone, call them, and ask for the person who works with their charitable contributions. That's my go-to statement. Who's the person who works with your charitable contributions? And they're going to give you the person who's in charge of that. And basically all you're doing, you're introducing yourself and you're saying, hey, I'm really interested in finding out what your process is to give to local charities or to give to organizations in the community, whatever you feel comfortable with. But all you're trying to do here is back to, we're doing our research. You know, we want to find out what is their process and how can we be one of those causes that they give to. And they very well may say, you know what, we only give to a couple causes and usually they're the same ones every year. But usually in the fall, we start looking at new causes. And so why don't you get back in touch with me when we get a little bit closer, whatever it is. But they're going to tell you exactly what you need to do. And so I would just come confident, say, introduce yourself, tell them a little bit about what you're doing, just very, very brief, like, hey, I work with X and here's who we're helping and we'd love for you guys to get involved, but was wondering what's the best way for us to get plugged in and to share that information with you guys. So use some of these statements. It's really not hard. I know that I've done it a lot. So sometimes it sounds a little bit easier than, you know, that I come off like, oh, it's super easy. But it really is, because when you're calling a company and just asking them for information, no pressure. I mean, they're probably not going to remember you called them in the first place. So you don't even have to tell them who you are. You can just make something up if you want to, if you're nervous. You don't have to put your name out there. You don't have to tell them what organization. You can just say, hey, I'm doing a little research and just was interested in finding out what your process is to giving to charity. You know, so that's kind of it in a nutshell. Then when you get into some of the organizations, very similar process. You know, those organizations are going to have a procedure. They might have an application process, but here's where you're probably going to be a little bit more personable. You know, you're going to be able to talk with some of the people who are in leadership. Sometimes with those corporations, they've got a gatekeeper, but you know what, to be honest with you, those organizations have a gatekeeper too. So if you think about a church, usually it's the assistant to the pastor. You start looking at who's the person who is taking those phone calls and you know, sending out different information to them. So with those organizations, same thing. We're just digging in. We're trying to figure out what's the best way, what's the process to get plugged in. Okay, with all of this, now you would not even have to pick up the phone and call any of these places if you did the recruitment process well. So if you enlisted your team well in step three. So back in step three, you should have had all your prospects down and you should have an idea of who from which organizations do you want on your committee, on your in your group, in leadership in some way with your organization or your cause. So by this point, you should have an insider in these organizations. You should have an insider in that corporation, in the organization, and also, I mean, obviously, as individuals, they have the ability to give themselves. So I want to be able to not even have to go this route of having to call and ask them what their process is, because I already have an insider who can tell me what the process is. So now your insider, the person who's on your committee, on your team, that person is going to start to open up doors for you. And they're not going to do it until you're ready. So if they're holding back, sometimes it's because you weren't clear about, hey, could you get a meeting with your marketing director? Could you get a meeting with, you know, the missions director? They're going to be able to be the one that is going to open up the door. And sometimes they're just waiting on you. They're waiting on you to give them direction. And other times they don't feel like you're ready. So they're not offering it up because they still kind of feel like you're going through the process and you're trying to weed through, making sure that your team is put in place, make sure that all your print materials, you've enhanced your brand, all that stuff is in play. and you're ready to go before they open up a door for you. So just think through, it doesn't hurt just to pick up the phone or talk with them and say, hey, could you introduce us to so-and-so? Could you schedule that meeting? Could you send an introduction email? Any of those kinds of things that you're like, okay, this person should be opening up the door. Now's the time, and you feel like you're ready to go start asking for money, then I would make sure that I utilize every single one of my team members to open up those doors to whether, you know, and like I said, it doesn't matter if it's a corporations, organizations, or individuals, they're the ones that are really that soft, they're gonna do the warm welcome, the warm introduction, so that you never have to do any cold calling. Okay. So then once you get into the individual ask and you're inviting people to be a part of the cause, same thing, that your team is opening up doors. So when you make these asks, when you're organizing it, and when you're ready for the point where you're actually sitting down with somebody, this is where majority of the talking is not done by you. Okay. And this is hard because we're used to being the ones who are talking a lot. And what you want to be able to do is just fill in the gaps. You want to fill in the gaps. And then if your volunteer and or a team member does not feel comfortable asking somebody for money, then that's where you step in as well, is where you say, we'd like to invite you to be a part of our cause. We'd like to invite you to be involved. Would you be interested? So those sorts of things you may say, but you know what? I would make sure that you have that conversation with your volunteer as to, do they feel comfortable asking? And if they don't, then you step up. But all that is talked about before you even get in the same room or get on a call with anybody. So the communication that you have with your volunteers is so, so, so important, because they're going to be the ones that, you know, they do it. You want to give them as much room to speak on behalf of you, because of course that's going to give great word of mouth, great testimonial about what you're doing, the impact that you're making. And then as soon as they're able to kind of step away, and they'll welcome you in and say, hey, you know what? You know better than I do about this. Why don't you share what the best way is for them to get plugged in, the best way for them to get involved? But do you see how it's such a smooth transition? It's it doesn't feel high pressure. It's not overwhelming. And this is really, to be honest with you, the thing that I would love for every single nonprofit organization, every single person who's raising support, is that once they're getting to the point of where they're asking somebody, the person across the table or on the phone or whatever, that person is going to respond with, well, of course, what do you need? That's when you know you've done everything well, is because that person was waiting and anticipating this conversation. So pay attention to that, because sometimes they're just waiting on you. They have money set aside, they want to give to you, but they're waiting for you to ask. So that means that the ball is in our court. You know, that we sometimes assume that, oh, we're bothering them, we're an annoyance, we're asking for a handout. No. If you've done this well, you know, if you started and you went through every single process that we've been talking about, you have a clear mission vision, you have the timeline budget in that focus your vision section, you know, all of these things that we've been talking about, the research was really clear. You knew that you were going down the right path as to how you're asking your donors for money. Now, all of a sudden, they kind of act like, well, you knew that I was a good fit. I gave you every inclination. I gave you every reason to come back and ask me for money, because I love what you do. We love what you stand for. So we're not begging people anymore. Okay. So the fundraising freedom process is not about handouts. These are people that align with your cause. Their passion for doing and making a difference in the world aligns with your passion, aligns with your cause. So now you're just like, you're a love connection. That's kind of weird to say that. But anyway, it really is. Like, once you get to the place where you're asking somebody for money, now it's like, well, of course I would ask you for money, because you love us. We love you. We're such a good fit. You bring something to the table. We bring something to the table. And look at what we get to do together. Look at the lives that we get to change. Look at the people we get to impact. You know, so that's when you're like, okay, this is a no-brainer. We have got to invite them to give, because they they need to be a part of this. And I love that when I get to the place where I'm thinking about a business and I'm just like, they need us, we need them, you know, and it's just so clear that whatever they're doing out in the community or the things that they're saying as in regards to their mission and their vision, you start to realize that you're like, oh my gosh, we have so much in common that there should be no reason that we're not partnering together. And just know that it may not be financially that you're partnering together. Like I said, it might be a product or a service. They might be able to open up doors for other people to get plugged into your cause. And they might be people that would open the door for life change for your people. You know, they might be a part of the mission side of what you do. And that's awesome, you know, because money always will follow. I just say, if you can get somebody to volunteer, if you can get somebody to show up and be a part and to show their, you know, do the thing that they love the most, it's going to open up their eyes to opportunities that they never even knew was possible as far as getting plugged into your cause. So we want to make sure that everybody who gets invited in really does feel like this was a special invitation. Okay, so that's the other major thing to think about is just that I'm like, don't just, you know, call out your people by blasting it on social media or putting it out there on in print or whatever. What I want to see is that you have done your homework enough to know that this person fits. And so now when you're sitting with them, it's like, it really does feel like you would be, and I say this often when I ask somebody for a donation, is that I say, I would be remiss if I did not invite you in. Because now it's on my side of the court. Now it's my job to make sure that they're invited in. So if I don't invite them, they're going to feel like I don't care about them. Because all the people that I care about the most are the people that I'm inviting to get plugged in. I'm asking them to volunteer. I'm asking them to financially give. I'm asking them to serve in some capacity for our organization and our cause. So this is where you have to just put the ego aside, put all the stuff aside, that by the time you come to this step in this stage, now it's time that you're like, okay, I have the opportunity to engage people into our organization. So now is the time that I decide who do I want on my team? Who do I want to align myself with? And just don't take anybody, because once you start letting everybody into your organization and you just open up this, you know, swing open the doors and just whoever comes in, trust me, the crazies will come into your organization. I hate to say that, but the crazies will come. And who wants to work with crazies? I don't, you know, like I want to work with people who are awesome, who get what I do, who love my people as much as I do. And they bring ideas and insight and they just are so fired up and passionate about the work that I do that I don't have to go track them down. I don't have to go find them to pay their bills because they're eager to financially give, but they're also eager to finance, you know, to give their time and their energy as well. So I hope that you can kind of get a visual of somebody who's like that in your cause already, because usually there's one or two that really stand out in your organization because they just are so wonderful. They're just like, ah, it's such a joy to work with them because they really are so excited about the work that you're doing. It's not because they care about whether you eat or not. It's because they can see the results. And when they see the results, they're like, wow, why aren't more people involved in what you're doing? And they'll say that. And now it's like, okay, yeah, why aren't more people involved in what we're doing? Well, because you're probably the best kept secret, you know? And it is hard when you have something that's really good and you think everybody should know what we're doing. Well, sadly, I mean, there's just a lot of noise out there. And so you've got to hack through all that noise. And the best way to do that is through this process that I've been teaching you guys. Because once somebody gets into your cause as a volunteer, now they will be an advocate for you, that, and they can say such wonderful things about you and the work that you're doing without it feeling like it's insincere. Whenever I brag on somebody and I talk about how great they are, I really feel that way. I would never say it out loud if I really didn't feel that way. So when I say, oh my gosh, look at so-and-so, look at what they're doing, now it's kind of like, I mean, it does add credibility to that cause. And the same thing goes for you. You can lend credibility to your peers. You can lend credibility to other organizations as well, as long as you have a good reputation and you're honest. you know? So, but that's what I mean. Like, get the right people that are sitting at that table. So then when it comes to this step, now when we're asking people for money, it's just so apparent that, they're going to say yes. I'll tell you, there has been so many times where I'm sitting across the table and I do a lot of asks over the phone now because, you know, people being all over the country, but I was talking with a donor, not that long ago. And it was like, when we made the pitch and it was me and, our lead volunteer who were making the pitch, and her response to us asking to be a part of it was, well, absolutely. Like, of course we'll do something, you know? So it was like, wouldn't you love that all of your responses when you say, hey, we'd love to, for you guys to get plugged in, we'd love for you to be a part of it. And them saying, of course, how much are you thinking? What do you need? And now you're not saying, could you, would you maybe give $100 a month? No. Now it's like, hey, we want you involved. You know, consider what you want to do. We want you and your spouse or you and your organization, you and your corporation to get plugged in. And what does that look like? We want you to be a part of it. So you already kind of have a place in your mind where you want them to fit in. And then of course I'm going to share that if they're kind of humming and hawing, but I'm going to say, you know, the area that I think would be the best fit for you to be a part of our organization is X. And then I can share it with them and they can say, eh, not interested. Or they can say, well, yeah, you know, I think that may be a good fit for us. You know, let me see, let me talk with a few people. I mean, but just know that it's like, you have the ability to influence people down whatever path you want them to take. You have the really all the tools to take them on a path to where by the time you get to this point, it really is a no-brainer for them to say yes. So I hope you catch that today. The very last section of this chapter on making organizing the ask is all about strangers and cold calling. And that's what I just want you to completely, you know, to have to avoid, is that we just don't have to make cold calls anymore. You know, we don't have to talk to strangers, because by the time I get to the point where I'm talking to somebody, I have somebody else at the table, somebody on my team who's made that introduction. So we shouldn't ever have to knock on doors that we don't know. And the only reason for some of these cold calls is really for very small items. So this is where I'm like, if you're doing an event and you're putting on an auction, I can absolutely cold call every business in town that has the ability to give me a smaller item. That's just kind of like philosophy around car washes and bake sales and stuff like that, is that, I mean, I can ask strangers to give me some cookies. Well, you probably shouldn't do that, but I mean, I'm just saying the dollar amount is relatively small, that people will say yes to doing those smaller things without a lot of commitment. But as soon as you start asking for larger sums of money, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, we just can't cold call those people anymore. So obviously, definitely go after them for auction items and smaller stuff, gift cards, hotel stays, pizza, you know, think through anything that you do that's kind of small, but hey, if you could get food donated for what you're doing, yes. Like, we don't want to spend our cash on food if we can get the food for free. So just know that all these businesses are getting hit up every single day to give and donate products and services. Do not miss out on the opportunity to get your stuff for free too. So if you have questions about that, need help, be sure to jump in the tribe. And, you know, with all of this that we're talking about, when you're making the ask, you know, the thing is that we have to ask. You know, there's no way around not asking. And I know some of you are just afraid and it's scary, but you know what? You just do it. You take imperfect action. You move forward. And you know what? If they say no to you, oh well, you tried. You know, you chalk it up as an experience and you get better, you know? So, I mean, I've obviously been doing this for well over 15 years and now I'm just like, asking somebody for money or asking them to be a part of something just doesn't even feel, it's not painful, because I know that they want to be invited. And if they don't want to be invited, I won't even put it out there, because I already know. Like, you can read somebody well enough to know that it's like, okay, they're not interested in what we're doing. And if I ask them, it's just going to make this uncomfortable. So let's not even go there. Okay. So if you feel uncomfortable asking somebody for money because you think that they're going to say no, don't ask. Okay. I'm just going to save you the pain. Don't ask. but put their name on your list and find out who can open up the door for you if you think that they someday could be a potential donor to your cause. So I hope you guys have gathered some good tips and some good ideas as you're making the ask and going after some in-kind donations, going after those corporate and organizational asks. But all of this is really such a process. I hope you're catching that having a plan is important. You can't just go out there and just vomit your information on everybody and expect that dollars are going to come rolling in the door, because there are too many people asking for our money these days. I mean, look at all the information that's being bombarded on us, asking us to buy products and services left and right. So why you and why now? And make sure that whatever conversation you're in with people is that you're just really clear about what you need and what you want. And I think that that will go a very, very long way. Actually, I know it will go a very, very long way. So I hope you guys have a great week. Be sure to check out that online training that I shared with you for our ministry and missionary friends. And for those of you who just want to hear some great 7-year-end fundraising secrets, jump on and join me with Mike Kim on Tuesday. So be sure to jump into the tribe. If you're not a member, if you're not a part of that Fundraising Freedom Tribe, just type it in on Facebook or check it out in the show notes, and we'd love to have you join us. So I hope you guys have a great week. Next week, we're going to be talking on making your difference and wrapping up our 7-part series. So don't miss next week's episode, and I hope you guys have a great week. Go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.